Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a 33-17 Dallas Cowboys victory over the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Great day to be a DFW sports fan. Rangers win earlier today. Cowboys collect the dub a couple of hours later. 33-17 was the final score. And I feel like that score probably not quite indicative of how much of a beatdown this was. Can't say that I really expected at any point for this to be a blowout, but here we are, 33-17, your final. And we're going to get into everything here in just a little bit. Some of the notable performances, go through the box score, go through some stats, some numbers, go through all of the scoring, the highlights. We'll do that here in just a second. But first, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Cowboys, and especially the Cowboys during the NFL football season. We appreciate you joining us today. A lot of different Cowboys options out there. Trust me, there are a lot, but we appreciate you tuning in, at least dropping by for a little bit, hanging out with us, doing some Cowboys post game. You got anything you want to add in, comments, questions that you want to throw my way or for the chat, please drop them in the comments section and we will get to it eventually, I promise. But let's go ahead and let's start with the big news that came out of Dallas this morning. Dak Prescott becoming the highest paid NFL player with a 4-year, $60 million per year contract. Dak becoming the richest player in NFL history. And I think that there were some rumblings that something like this was going to happen. But at the same time, you didn't really know, and you never really know with the Jones family what is going to get done and what isn't. It wouldn't have surprised me at all if Dak did not have a deal going into the regular season, going into the start of play today. But the big news coming out, what, an hour or two before kickoff, that Dak is going to be extended an additional 4 years. There's a lot to break down there. I don't know if we're going to take it right away to that debate, good contract, bad contract. Let's focus on the dub today. I think that's a fair thing to do. Maybe at the end of the show, we can get into the contract and we can talk about what it means for the Cowboys and if it is a good deal for the Cowboys as well. Dak, a polarizing figure among Cowboys Nation. Some people love Dak, love the leadership, love what he's brought to the Cowboys over the last 8 seasons or so. And some are quite ready for him to be done in Big D. So we shall see how this plays out for the Cowboys. And we're going to get into that discussion in just a little while. But let's go ahead and let's start with Dak's performance today in this game. Final stat line on Dak Prescott, 19 for 32. 179 yards, rating of 85.3, did have one touchdown in this game, did have one rush for 3 yards as well. Look, by the time the halftime rolled around in this one, the game was not completely over, but it was 20-3 at halftime, a three-possession game. At that point, you're doing a lot of clock management, trying to drain clock, get out of Cleveland with a dub and without too many people getting banged up. Of course, the Cowboys tight end, Jake Ferguson, got a little bit banged up there, looked like with the knee perhaps. And from what I hear from some of the Cowboys sources and beat writers, there was nothing beyond an ice bag and some gauze wrapped around the knee of Jake Ferguson. So hopefully nothing too serious there. But back to Dak, in the second half, the Cowboys were trying to run clock, trying to shrink the game a little bit. And I think by and large, they accomplished it well. Dak didn't have to really show off today, so to speak. Doesn't have to go crazy with the stats or anything like that. More of a game manager role today. So look, I will say, I think if you're just evaluating Dak as a whole today, you have to consider the context. He wasn't being asked, neither did he need to go shootout mode today. First half, he had a nice touchdown to Brandon Cooks on a play that he was getting heavily pressured. The blitz was coming, and he did well to flip it out there to Cooks. Nice pass. And after that, like I said, the defense playing so well. And then in the second half with the three-possession lead, really didn't need Dak to be slinging it all over the yard. I'm sure there are going to be games like that this year. But yeah, I wouldn't say you walk away from this game wowed or overly impressed with Dak. But the reality is they really didn't need him to be wowed today. The defense was the wow. I thought 6 sacks. You had 2 interceptions as well. Let me see. We had one fumble that was recovered. I mean, there were just so many huge plays from the defense today. Again, you really didn't need Dak to be five-star, 300-yard quarterback today. So on the same day where he signs the richest contract in NFL history, kind of a ho-hum day for Dak, but when you consider the context of the game, I think he did exactly what he needed to do. And like I said, we're going to get into the Dak debate maybe a little bit later on in the show after we go through most of the game. Of course, I'll take y'all's comments along the way. Appreciate all y'all tuning in, by the way. I'm seeing some comments coming in on YouTube, Facebook, X, and also TikTok as well. What's up to everybody? Cowboys get the win today. Look, that's really all that matters at this point. There's a lot that we're going to get into and can get into, but we got the dub today, Cowboys Nation, and it was not something that I expected, getting a blowout win in Cleveland. Didn't have that on my bingo card, but here we are. And it was nice to see. And look, the Cowboys, notorious in the Dak era of having these big regular season wins. That's not to say they haven't dropped some regular season games against really good opponents. Last year against the Niners, Christmas, the Dolphins, they've lost their fair share of big regular season games too. But you just feel like this is a team that heard a lot of noise in the offseason, heard a lot of noise. I don't know how many people announced that they were taking the under for the Cowboys season win total. It was a lot of people. And here they are coming out, making a statement. I don't think it's a coincidence. Dak as well, you know that he's been hearing it. You know that he's aware of the criticisms that are out there about him. Again, he doesn't go off today, but does exactly what he needed to get his team a win. I'm going to check out some comments as I can. Somebody says they forgot to put the Cowboys in the starting lineup today for fantasy. That's painful. Quite painful. Somebody says, this is Jesse on TikTok, y'all should not have signed Dak for $240 million. It's a lot of money for Dak Prescott. We're going to get into it more. We might not be able to hold off if a lot of y'all want to talk about it, but we might not be able to hold off on the Dak discussion. 240 is a lot for Dak. A lot. I definitely think, though, when you consider the fact that they really don't have a ton of other options out there, and the other options out there are getting paid. Look at Kirk Cousins, who I don't really rate ahead of Dak Prescott. Kirk Cousins got paid in the offseason. I do not rate Kirk ahead of Dak. That's just me. Maybe, I mean, we can go back and forth about that, agree to disagree with me. I do not rate Kirk Cousins ahead of Dak Prescott. And Kirk got a huge deal from the Falcons. I mean, they then went on to draft Michael Penix, but he got a huge deal from the Falcons. Now, I don't think there's as much guaranteed money. Pretty much the entire contract for Dak is guaranteed. I think that was the big surprise for me. Almost the entire contract is, I think I read this correctly, like $230 million of the $240 or something close to that guaranteed. Only $10 million of the contract not guaranteed. That is a ton of guaranteed money. I don't think Kirk Cousins that got that kind of guaranteed. So back to the point, the alternatives are not out there right now. You have to bank on being able to find a quarterback in the draft. And look, I am a fan and have been a fan in the past of drafting a first-round quarterback. I think that there are some teams that have done it, even when you have a capable quarterback and it's worked out well. The Packers are a great example, both with Aaron Rodgers and with Jordan Love. I think that would have been a good move for the Cowboys. They decide not to go that route. I wouldn't have mind seeing the Cowboys draft a quarterback first round this year and seeing what you could have done with Dak and the contract. Obviously, I would have expected Dak to have played this year had we drafted a quarterback first round, but those are the alternatives. You either draft a quarterback first round, or alternatively, you got to go find one in free agency. I know that there's some noise about Trey Lance, but let's be real. I think we watched the preseason, and he had some flashes in the pan, but I don't know if I'm ready to hand over the keys to Trey. He could be a really good NFL quarterback with some time, without the pressure cooking going on. Hey, you're the guy, and we're going to give you an extended run, like that kind of situation. But I don't really feel confident or comfortable that Trey Lance is going to step in and do a better job than what Dak is going to over the next 4 years. Look, I will take 4 more years of Dak versus having the uncertainty. I personally don't think at this point that Dak is worth that much money, but I think the market is just dictating it totally. You got Kirk Cousins getting paid. You got a lot of other big quarterbacks getting paid. It's kind of like just in life, like how rents just continue to go up, prices continue to go up. I think eventually you're going to be looking at $60 million a year for Dak and probably saying, not bad. Because Mahomes coming up again, we know Burrow, and that contract situation. I think in a few years, probably we're going to look back at this deal and it's not going to look so bad compared to what other quarterbacks are going to be making when they hit free agency. It's only going to go up. And the NFL is making crazy amounts of money. It is only going to go up. So I think, and my prediction is, $60 million actually ain't going to look too bad in 3 or 4 years. So we'll see what pans out with that. We'll see what the future holds. But I'm ready, and I said this to some of my buddies who are big-time Cowboys fans, I'm ready to embrace Dak at this point. I think that heading into this season, I was a little bit on the fence of what to do with him. I could see arguments for letting him go after this year, letting him walk. I could see arguments for re-signing him. I think that Dak clearly has not performed in the postseason as much as us Cowboys fans would like. And from the outsiders looking in, clearly there's a lot of hate for Cowboys out there anyways. Dak has not performed, though, when needed. There have been other people on the team and other aspects of the games that we played in the playoffs in recent years that have let us down. But Dak, I can't say the past several playoff games has just balled out and everybody else let Dak down. If anything, Dak's thrown some picks and Dak has contributed to the playoff losses. So I think that is the best argument for moving on from him, is you've kind of seen what he can do in the playoffs. And it's not like the Cowboys are losing in spite of Dak, if that makes sense. Again, Dak isn't going off for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, and the defense is just allowing more touchdowns on the other end. I mean, you're getting some pretty mediocre stat lines from Dak in the playoff games, and in some cases, bad stat lines with the interceptions. The Packers game, total mess. But I think that at this point, it's 4 years, and you got to embrace what you got. And I'm going to do my best to get on that train. It's a lot of money, but I don't think there's a lot of other better options out there. I'm so glad somebody dropped this Eagles are better comment in the chat. This is what I love about doing this, by the way. You get everybody popping in at some point, fans from all teams. I don't think a lot of people rate Jalen Hurts ahead of Dak. That's another guy in the division. I think Dak's the best quarterback in the division. I don't think that there are any better quarterbacks than Dak in this division. I don't think there's any way you can rate Jalen Hurts over Dak. Jalen Hurts didn't look good on Friday night. Didn't look good most of last season. Looked terrible in the playoffs. I mean, look, Dak did too, but I don't think anybody is rating Jalen Hurts over Dak at this point. Jaden Daniels, we'll see what he does with the Commanders. I don't think I even need to mention anything more than Daniel Jones's name for you to know where he ranks among NFC East quarterbacks. I mean, good Lord. He looked terrible today, though. I got to comment. I can't help myself. He looked awful today. Daniel Jones, I don't even know why they decided to run him back out there again this year. I would have moved on at the end of last season. Totally would have moved on from Daniel Jones. But I said it at the beginning of last year. Those of y'all that have been following me for a while, you might remember this shorter reel I did. When they signed Daniel Jones to that massive deal, if you're a Cowboys fan, you had to love it, because Daniel Jones, as long as he is the Giants quarterback, things are going to be peachy for Cowboys, for the Eagles, for the Commanders. You're basically just giving us 2 free wins every single season, signing Daniel Jones to a $40 million a year, for 4 years contract. I mean, Daniel Jones, not good today. Very bad today. So with that being said, I think Dak, best quarterback in the NFC East. And from that perspective, I think the contract today is a win as well. You let Dak potentially go somewhere else. Don't know if he gets picked up by somebody in the East or if he would even be willing to play. But let's just go worst case scenario. What if the Giants get a brain and decide to release Daniel Jones? Dak is right there in free agency. You know they're probably going to be trying to take a shot at Dak Prescott. The Giants would be. I know I would if I was their GM. If Dak would have hit free agency at the end of 2024-25 season, why wouldn't you inquire if you're the Giants? You've got Daniel Jones, cut him, get Dak, and the rest is history. I don't know if Dak would be willing to play for the Giants, but you offer him enough money, I'm sure he'll be listening. So it's things like that. Or maybe he goes to another NFC team and then you got to see him at least once a year. I'm glad that they got the deal done. There's not a lot of drama now the rest of the season about the contract. That is one really nice thing. Clearly, Dak is going to be around for a while. Don't know about Mike McCarthy. I think that's the other question mark here. Mike McCarthy on the last year of his deal. I am a big believer in the coach is not always the problem, and the coaches always get the main blame along with the quarterbacks to an extent, but the coaches are always the scapegoat. I think Big Mike has done a pretty good job in Dallas. I really, really don't feel negative when it comes to his tenure here. I know that can't be said of all Cowboys fans, but I really do feel pretty positive about the job Mike McCarthy's done. Look, is Mike throwing the interceptions against Green Bay? Is Mike allowing Jordan Love and the offense of Green Bay to run up and down the field on our defense? I mean, that's the kind of stuff I think about. Now, can you make an argument he should have the team better prepared, get more out of the team? Sure, but we're getting into coach speak there. The players have to perform on the field, and I think the Cowboys are really pretty well coached and have been for the last three seasons. Dan Quinn, now you got Mike Zimmer, who I think is a great defensive coordinator. I'm excited about the season this year. I think that they heard a lot of noise the Cowboys did this summer and this offseason, the lack of moves. And I think that they are ready to prove some people wrong. I think that's what this win was a statement win. Y'all think we're about to go 8-9 or 9-8? Let's just see about that. And when you think about it, if the Cowboys can make it through some of these non-division games at the beginning of the season, they're going to start getting into some of the divisional matchups. And I think right now, they probably can go ahead and chalk up two Giants wins. I think the Commanders game, they should win both of those games too. So you're already at 5 wins. Maybe you split with the Eagles. There's 6 wins. And that leaves you really with needing to win 3 or 4 more out of division games in order to make the playoffs. I think that's very doable at this point. Now, getting back into the game today, and I'm going to keep scrolling here on all my comments, by the way. John, what's up, man? If you're still tuned in, appreciate you. John says, Aubrey, low-key, the player of the game. So automatic. Brandon Aubrey, who would have thought that that dude was going to be this? I surely did not think that Brandon Aubrey was going to turn into this type of dude. I mean, it is a shame that they had that delay of game at the end of the second quarter that negated the 66-yard record-tying, Justin Tucker record-tying field goal. Aubrey is a friggin' beast, and it is a weapon and a real problem in the special teams game and in the game in general. If you're trying to game plan for the Cowboys, it's tough when you got a kicker that can kick from that far out. Your margin for error defensively is so much more thin. You know, you've pretty much got to keep the ball on your side of the oppo 40. I mean, if he gets to the 40, I think you're very comfortable kicking anything within 60 yards with Aubrey at this point. I really feel pretty good about him kicking a 60-yarder. And the dude is just automatic, or Aubrey-matic, as I like to say, along with all my buddies, just Aubrey-matic, man. He is phenomenal, a great pickup. After the nightmare that we had, after the freaking nightmare, remember that 2 years ago in the Bucs game? Just the nightmare scenarios we were going through from the kicking position. I mean, to get Aubrey, just incredible that he's become this. And I feel like pretty much every time he lines up, it's going in. Yeah, he's going to have his moments of misses, but Brandon Aubrey, great pickup by the Cowboys. And that is a true weapon to have when you've got a guy that is that locked in and makes that many. I mean, goodness. And from the distance he does too. Defense is the story today. Going to flash this comment up here as well from John. Defense just went off. This was over in the third quarter. Felt over at the end of the second quarter, to be completely honest. It didn't feel like the Browns really had a shot in the second half, period. So I got to say, it felt over at halftime. They were just mauling Deshaun Watson. Here's one thing that I was wrong on that, and look, it's early, so maybe I'm not wrong on it yet, but I came out last year and railed on the Cowboys for their draft last year. I thought it was a terrible draft. I don't feel like they've gotten a whole lot out of some of the guys that they've drafted high in the first round in recent years. Clearly, there's been some good ones. I mean, Parsons, obviously. And there's been some other solid ones as well. But Overshown. Overshown today, I was very impressed with him. I think he is the biggest positive that I walked away from defensively today. We have a linebacker with that amount of speed. I mean, that dude was shooting out of a cannon to go and get some of those plays to the outside. He had one play, one big hit on Watson, just full speed, lighting that dude up. He went and got, I think, a toss or a play to the out. Overshone, I think, to me, is the guy that sticks out in my mind the most as just having an outstanding game and being a huge bright spot. I mean, the Cowboys at the linebacker position, I know Parsons is kind of a hybrid, but they mostly have him at D end right now. I know he started out at Penn State as kind of a more traditional linebacker, but since then they moved him a little bit more to an outside linebacker, defensive end hybrid. But if we can get a guy in the middle, a middle linebacker, an inside linebacker, it doesn't have to be a Mike, either the Mike or the Will. If you can get somebody with that amount of speed coming from the inside linebacker position, that is going to be a game changer for this Cowboys defense. They're going to be even more dominant than what they were last year. Because the last year, they kind of struggled at that inside linebacker spot. It wasn't terrible. It just wasn't standout to me. So Overshone injured at the beginning of last year in training camp, I believe. Didn't even play a game for the Cowboys. He impressed me today. I think I walk away thinking about the defense. Parsons was on one today. The pressure was relentless. But Overshone, to me, one of the biggest positives. And just feel really happy for him. Texas Longhorn, all my Texas Longhorns fans out there that are Cowboys fans as well. Good to see a former Longhorn in Overshone coming out and having a great game. I think I am really excited about him as he continues to mature and develop. Clearly, he's just in his second year in the NFL and really didn't get a first year last year. So it's going to be fun. If he becomes an elite linebacker, first of all, you got to steal getting him in the third round. And second of all, you just upgraded a need that you had on your defense that was already really, really good. So Overshone to me is the biggest positive that I walk away from in terms of the defense. Good to see Diggs back out there, right? Good to see Diggs. And of course, Diggs was right there to get that interception towards the end of the game. I was watching the game with my dad and we get together, every other weekend and watch Cowboys. Just depends on our schedules. You know, crazy busy with work and family sometimes, but we try to get together and watch, maybe half the season. And, we were just commenting, Diggs, he has some lucky interceptions where he's just in the right place at the right time, but I really don't know how much luck it is. Like, the dude just has a knack for the ball. The ball just ends up coming to him. And all of his interceptions that he had a couple seasons ago, and then even last year before he was hurt, he just has a knack for finding the ball. So, of course, it was him getting that interception today. Good to see Diggs out there flying around in the secondary. And we don't even have Deron Bland right now. Deron Bland is hurt. I don't think he's coming back till week 5. I think that's what I saw. So, you got Diggs, and you don't even have Deron Bland. I mean, that, to me, is a really, really positive sign. Overshone, by the way, if you want to know just how much that dude balled out today, 11 tackles. 11 total tackles. That is crazy, man. I mean, that dude was all over the place today. 2 quarterback hits, 1 tackle for a loss. Overshone had a sack. Overshone, to me, player of the game defensively. I'd probably then go down to Kendricks. Kendricks, the acquisition in the offseason, the free agent signing that I think at the time was maybe a little meh to some Cowboys fans. Eric Kendricks, a great linebacker for the Vikings for a number of years. Kendricks played with Zimmer when Zimmer was the head coach of the Vikings. Quietly, I think we have just a crazy elite upgrade of our middle linebacker position, of our inside linebackers. It was a big need last year. We heavily upgraded the inside linebacker positions. Overshone just getting healthy, right? Just by consequence of that. And then the Kendricks signing, you've got 2 elite inside linebackers. I mean, Overshone, look, it's one good game. I don't want to go over the top with it. But look, clearly the dude can ball. He played D1 football and did very well at the University of Texas. He's not a scrub. So I absolutely am excited about the inside linebackers that we have on this defense. I think Zim has got these boys on all cylinders firing. I mean, you lose Dan Quinn, and it could have gone a lot of different directions with the defense. To replace Dan Quinn with Zimmer, phenomenal move. I mean, no like super awesome free agent signings, like big splash in the pan, big name. But Kendricks to me is a great pickup that really kind of was underappreciated, I think, by a lot of Cowboys Nation, at least the people that I like to follow. I didn't hear a lot of Eric Kendricks talk, people pumped about that signing. But he had a great game today. 9 tackles. He had 2 quarterback hits as well. Had an interception. Beautiful, beautiful stuff from the defense. And again, you don't even have Deron Bland back yet. Deron Bland isn't going to be back till week 5. This is going to be fun, I think, from a defensive perspective. Not that they're never going to take their lumps, but I really feel super excited about this defense. I think that it's going to be a lot of fun watching them fly all around the field, and I think they are going to be a problem for most offenses on the other side of the ball. Going to keep going here. So we talked about the defense. Let's go into the box score a little bit more here and just give you some notable players. So Zeke, good to see him back in his return. He went 10 carries for 40 yards. So look, averaging 4 yards per carry. I will say this. I felt a little discouraged in the second half. Like, it just didn't feel like in the second half we had a run game that could just put things away. Felt like we had to pass way too much in the second half. Couldn't just ground and pound with the ball. I know Zeke was getting some carries, but I just felt like we were passing a ton at the end of the game still. When you have that workhorse back that you can count on, you're just feeding them the ball when you're up 3 possessions. So I will say, if I had to give like a little critique or be a little nitpicky, I'm a little bit concerned about the run game and just the ability to play 4 quarters. I think you're going to get a great first half from Zeke. I think you're going to get a great first half from Dowdle. In the 4th quarter, though, when both those boys are worn down, are you going to still be able to close out games? I think they had to rely a little bit too much on the passing game trying to close this one out. I think this game could have been over a lot more quickly had they been able to string together some better runs late in the 3rd quarter and into the 4th quarter. Now, clearly it all worked out. We're just being a little bit nitpicky here, but I think that is something to watch. Will Zeke and Dowdle be able to close out games in tight games against better competition? And I actually thought the Browns were going to be a pretty good football team this year. And look, it's week 1. The Bengals lost at home. Anything can happen in the NFL on any given Sunday. I thought the Browns were going to be a little bit better than what they showed today. I do think the Browns' defensive line is stout. I do think you have to keep that in perspective and frame this well. The Browns' defensive line is good. And it's not going to be easy to get 100 yards on the ground against them, but that is what the Cowboys did today collectively. Zeke, of course, scores a touchdown today in his return. Just good to see Zeke back in a Cowboys uniform, for me at least. Look, I know that at this point, Zeke is not at the pinnacle of his career, but I still think that he can be big in short yardage situations. I still think he is a goal line vulture. The dude is just going to score touchdowns when you get down there to the 1, 2, 3 yard line. I just feel like it's right. It's right to have him back. I would have liked to have seen them draft some kind of running back. I think it was a mistake not to draft anybody. I don't rate Deuce Vaughn super high, although I think it's a good story. Rico Dowdle, I think, runs really hard. He did not have a particularly great game today in terms of the stat line, only 3.3 yards per carry. Look, that's not terrible. And he did have a 10-yard run today as well. Rico Dowdle did. It's nothing personal against Rico, not trying to be disrespectful towards him. I just would have liked to have seen the Cowboys draft a running back a little higher, maybe 3rd round, maybe 4th round, somebody that they can start developing. Clearly, you took Deuce Vaughn super late in the draft a couple of years ago. I don't know if Deuce is going to be able to hack it as a 3-down back in the NFL, maybe a passing down back, but I just don't see Deuce being able to become the guy or even the secondary guy. I think maybe he's a 3rd-down back that you can have come out of the backfield, but I really don't feel great about the running back situation right now. I would have loved to have seen a better closeout from them. That being said, Zeke, 40 yards a carry, hard to complain about that, and he pretty much split time with Rico Dowdle right down the middle. So that's the running game. That's the one thing I walk away with in this one, a little bit concerned. If we are being even more nitpicky about Dak, I do feel like with Dak, there were some throws today that you should have made if you're Dak. I can think of a number. I'm not going to overly dwell on them, but felt like Dak was a little bit off with some of the passes today. I do think that is a direct result of not playing any preseason games. I think Dak looked a little bit rusty today with some of the throws. He made some nice ones. That ball with a little air under it to Cooks for the touchdown, that was a nice ball, especially when you're being pressured on almost an all-out blitz. So Dak did have some nice throws today. You just felt like he left like probably 4 or 5 six throws on the table today that he normally makes. So I think Dak probably a little bit rusty with all of the different time off that he took in the preseason. I don't know if that's my favorite thing, never taking a single snap in preseason, but it is what a lot of teams are doing at this point. So I'm just not shocked. Dak's only been going against the ones on defense for the Cowboys. Hasn't been playing any other competition from any other team. I think it kind of makes sense that the throws were maybe a little bit off. Little bit off today. All right, let's see. Let me see what I got on TikTok here. Let me see. Marcel, what's up, man? Marcel says, see you in November. Texans fan. CJ will show Dak how it's done. CJ was another one that looked a little rough today. I don't know how you felt about CJ's performance. Look, they got the win, just like with Dak. They got the win, so you can't be too negative, but I thought CJ looked a little rusty today, looked a little off. It doesn't mean a whole lot. It's week one, y'all. I'm scrolling through here. We ate in the beat up on bad teams in regular season phase of the Cowboys yearly. Oh, we are in. We are in the beat up on bad teams. Do we think the Browns are a bad team, though? I mean, are we sure the Browns are a bad team? They made the playoffs last year. They've got a so-called elite quarterback. I don't know. Are we sure the Browns are a bad team? I really try not to make judgments after week one. I really try not to make too many harsh judgments after week one. I really think the Browns actually are probably going to win some games this year. It's just hard in week one. I think the Deshaun Watson performance is concerning. It just is. It's concerning if you're a Browns fan. Clearly, you know, the time off for him might be a factor as well. Flacco finished out the year for the Browns and, of course, started in the playoff game. So, look, week one, I think there's a lot of rust with certain guys, especially some of the quarterbacks that don't take any reps in the preseason. I think Dak, that's probably what was going on today with some of the throws that you were seeing from him. I mean, he was there was one, I think it was in the second half, just totally overthrew a wide-open guy by about, you know, 7 or 8 feet over his head. Like, there were just little things like that kind of throwing behind a little bit on some of the slants to CD. The timing just wasn't perfect, and I really do think that's a result of Dak not getting any game reps in the preseason, which, look, you'll take a rusty game from Dak and a win and juxtapose that with the risk of playing him in the preseason and potentially him getting hurt. So I'm not saying not playing Dak in the preseason is a bad decision. I think it's actually probably prudent and wise. But I do think this is a product of that. You do sometimes get some rust from some of these QBs that didn't take any snaps in some of the games that didn't matter in August. All right, let me keep going here. So other notable, CD after the big payday, 5 receptions, 61 yards. Again, feel like he probably could have had closer to 100 today. A few throws from Dak that weren't completely on the money. And then I think CD did have a drop today. It was well defended, so I'm not going to say it was like a straight-up drop. He's wide open. Ball hits off his hands. He was actually pretty well defended, but still probably one that CD should catch. So the numbers probably could have been even a little bit better for CD, but 5 receptions, 61 yards, long of 34, 10 targets today. So clearly they're trying to feed him in the passing game. Cooks had 7 targets, so both those guys, kind of the main targets, just like last year. Fergie had 5. Before he left with his injury. I think that's going to be the steady diet. Turpin actually had a target today, but he totally whiffed and dropped a pretty much wide open, right in the numbers, ball from Dak. So I don't know if that played into him not getting any more targets the rest of the day, but I will say Turpin did redeem himself with that outstanding punt return. John, I know you mentioned that a little bit earlier. It feels like Turpin has been so close to breaking punt returns and kick returns in the past. I mean, and I actually think with this new kickoff format, I know some people hate it. I'm willing to give it a little bit more time. I actually think it plays better for Turpin because the guys that are coming downfield are not going as fast. They don't have as much of a head start. And then you've got Turpin coming at you at full speed when you're probably not quite at your full speed. I actually think that this kickoff new system, new format that they're trying actually plays really well into some of these kick returners that are crazy lightning fast. So very excited for Turpin. It's been a long time coming. They had all facets of the game working today, y'all. The offense was humming and probably could have made it an even more lopsided score. The defense was on fire, absolutely 100% on point. And even the special teams game, Aubrey, Turpin, just outstanding. outstanding, really, from all facets. I'm sure there's a few things that the Cowboys coaches are going to hammer home this week in practice, but good stuff today, really, from all aspects of the game. I don't think you can be really too mad about a whole lot. Like I said, we'll get a little nitpicky for the sake of fun and conversation, but by and large, you got to love going on the road into Cleveland, rabid fan base, loud stadium, first game, and get a win, and get a win in this fashion as well. Very, very impressive. All right, I'm going to keep things going. Let's take a look at any other notable performances in the box score. We already talked receivers. We talked running backs. We talked Dak. We talked Overshown, 11 tackles. We talked Kendricks, 9 tackles. We talked about the interceptions from Diggs and from Kendricks as well. By the way, DeMarcus Lawrence, Tank had 2 sacks. I mean, look, Kendricks had 2 sacks, Overshown with the sack, Parsons had a sack, 6 total sacks in this one. I mean, that just goes along even more, driving home the point of how dominant this defense was. Deshaun Watson barely completed 50% of his passes. And a big part of that was the pressure. And the dude just did not have time to set his feet in the pocket and deliver good throws. He was running for his life most of the game. And then when he actually was getting off good throws, they were pretty well defended by the Cowboys. So Deshaun goes 24 for 45 today, rating of 51. Yeah, 6 sacks, 2 interceptions. Just a nightmare game for Deshaun Watson. They were able to put in a couple of touchdowns late, kind of just garbage time, in my opinion. I don't read into really either one of those touchdowns. And I think that pretty much wraps it up with the box score. Aubrey 4 for 4 with a long of 57, made all 3 extra points. So good day to be a Cowboys fan. Great day to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. We're going to go ahead and we're going to preview the matchup for next week, which is an early game, 12 p.m. start. First home game for the Dallas Cowboys, who are going to be playing the New Orleans Saints. The Saints today put a beatdown, an absolute beatdown on the Carolina Panthers. So look, I take that with a grain of salt. I don't think the Panthers are a very good football team. I think Bryce Young is probably going to end up being a bust, but you know, maybe he ends up coming around or gets an opportunity with another team. I don't know how much longer the Panthers are going to be sticking with Bryce Young. I didn't love the pick, by the way. I don't want to get off on a tangent. Never really loved the Bryce Young pick. Thought there were some other guys in that draft that you probably could have gone with instead. But it is what it is at this point, and we're not playing the Panthers next week. So back to the Saints. I think the 47-10 win looks dominating. It looks a lot better than what it really is. I think we have to go back to the Saints last year and what the Saints were like. And you know what? The Saints were a very mediocre, average football team last year. I was not super, super impressed with the Saints and Derek Carr. They were 9-8 last year. I mean, look, I think that they were fortunate to get above 500. They play in a very weak division, Falcons, Panthers. Bucks, I think, are actually a pretty solid football team. Bakers, I think, got them in a pretty good groove. But I feel like this is a game the Cowboys can absolutely win. I think that they are going to have some challenges. The Saints do have Olave, really great in the passing game. And Derek Carr does throw a great deep ball. I think they're going to have to really watch out for that, keeping everything in front of them. And then, of course, they've got a decent running game as well. I'm excited for the matchup. It's going to be fun. The home crowd, hopefully they'll be loud. It'll be a real lit atmosphere for everybody, both on TV and those cheering in the stands. So Saints 1-0, Cowboys 1-0. We shall see what next week brings. Again, a 12 p.m. game, and I think it's going to be Brady again on the call. By the way, Brady was on the call today. Thought he did a pretty nice job. I can't say I was like blown away or anything, but I definitely wasn't annoyed or wanting to like turn on mute or turn down the volume. And I actually thought he had some really good, insightful comments. One in particular, Brady was talking about holding players accountable, how not a lot of players have people in their lives that are really holding them accountable in terms of their play. They're getting pumped up, gassed up a lot, and not a lot of people are challenging them where they could improve, critiquing them, where could they get better. Brady talked about how much he appreciated that as a player, and he talked about Mike McCarthy and Zim as well and complimented them on coaches that hold players accountable. So I think, you know, Brady might just be, you know, blowing wind, but he didn't have to say that. So I think it's actually a really big compliment and something that Cowboys fans can feel really good about. I do feel good about the coaches right now. I think the players have to play better in the clutch moments, but I think McCarthy and Zimmer are going to have this team ready to go all season long. I think it's going to come down to how do the players play in the clutch moments and clutch time against really good teams. That's really what it always comes down to in the National Football League. So with that being said, I am really looking forward to next week and seeing what the Cowboys can do to follow this one up. It could potentially just be one little flash in the pan, a nice week one, but my hope is that they can build momentum off of this game, go into week two at home against the Saints, take care of business, because from there it gets a little bit harder. It gets a little bit harder after that. I definitely think the Cowboys with the first place schedule are going to get challenged early on this season. So you've got New Orleans, then you got Baltimore, and at least that game's at home. Baltimore on the road, that would be brutal. Then you have a little bit of a reprieve going to New York to play the Giants. Then you go to Pittsburgh. That's going to be, I think, a Sunday night football game. Thursday night football for that Giants game, by the way. So that is the first four or five games of the season right there. And then after that, you've got Detroit and San Fran. And Texans are on the horizon November 18th. But that is a pretty tough first eight games of the season. You got San Francisco, Detroit, Pittsburgh, New York, Baltimore, New Orleans, Cleveland. The only one that feels like a real win just looking at it is New York. I think any of the other games, even the New Orleans one, could go slightly sideways. I do feel like the New York game is a win. I think every other one is questionable. I'm not saying that they're going to lose, but I just feel like Baltimore, that's going to be a real tough one. Pittsburgh, at Pittsburgh, is going to be tough. Detroit has got a great team. That'll be a fun little rematch from last year, by the way, that game against Detroit on October 13th. San Francisco in the Bay Area, that's another Sunday night football game. That one's going to be tough. Cowboys have a grueling start to the season. I really hope that they can get out of the first 8-9 weeks. Let's say the first 8 weeks. I hope that they can be at the very end of it. I hope for 5-2. 4-3 might be realistic. They have a bye week, week 7. So we're talking about after week 8, October 27th at San Francisco. We're kind of trying to predict the Cowboys' record here. I think you got to be really happy with 4-3. 5-2 would be amazing. If they can go 5-2 over their first 7 games, finishing with that San Francisco game on October 27th, that would be phenomenal. And I think there is a path for 5-2. I think 4-3 may be, like I said, a little more realistic, but let's say if we're trying to pick out losses, let's say a Baltimore, Detroit, San Francisco, maybe those are the three potential losses. I think the Cowboys can beat Pittsburgh. I think the Cowboys can beat New Orleans, New York. I think really what it's going to come down to is how they play in those three big games against the Niners, the Lions, and the Ravens. I think they can win one of those three games, by the way. I think they will beat one of those three teams at least. Two would be a big ask, but I think they can probably at least get one win out of those three games, Baltimore, San Fran, Detroit. I don't want to get too much into the rest of the schedule. It's still a long ways out, and we're only at week one. But 5-2 would be phenomenal. 4-3, though, is kind of what I am reasonably hoping that the Cowboys can finish with after their San Francisco game, week 8 in late October. There we go. All right, y'all, I'm going to wrap things up here. Appreciate all y'all hanging out. Let me check comments here and let me make sure that I didn't miss anybody, but very thankful for all y'all tuning in. Thank you so much for all the likes, for the views, for the comments. Man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Defense did look amazing. I'm seeing a comment like that on TikTok. Defense looked incredible today. Lot to be positive about if you're a Cowboys fan, no doubt. Tristan, what's up, my guy? I agree. Great day to be a Cowboys fan and a Rangers fan. Here at Ride on Rangers, y'all, by the way, we cover pretty much everything sports, but we love our Texas teams. I'm from the DFW area originally, Dallas-Fort Worth, Arlington to be more specific. So Cowboys, Rangers, those are the two big ones for me. Longhorns as well. My family, big Longhorns fans. A lot of my family went to UT, went to college in the Austin area. So big Longhorns fan as well. And Mavericks, of course, too, who will be starting up here in about a month. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up on the horizon. Hey, if you're watching, you haven't hit that follow or subscribe button yet, I would be very grateful if you did. We're going to go live after every Cowboys game this year and chat it up. We're also going to go live after Longhorns games. The Rangers are not having a great year this year, but we do go live after every Texas Rangers game as well. And if you ever catch me on a Rangers live and you want to talk Cowboys or Longhorns, drop it in the chat. I'll pretty much cover any sport on the lives. I'll eventually bring it back to the main topics of the day. But of course, if you want to talk one of those teams and you see me doing a Rangers live, put it in the chat. I'll get to it, no doubt. So appreciate all you guys. If you know someone that loves the Cowboys, loves the Longhorns, loves Texas sports in general, please send them my way. Share one of my videos with them. I would be extremely appreciative of that. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Sunday. Enjoy Sunday Night Football. By the way, what's going on with Sunday Night Football right now? 3-3 going into halftime, or at least a little bit of time left in the half. Man, I thought this was going to be a little more high scoring between the Rams and the Lions, but it's a 3-3 ball game. Baseball score with about 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Does look like Detroit is getting pretty close to punching one in here. So we shall see. We're going to go enjoy some Sunday Night Football, though, y'all. I suggest you do the same. And I sure hope to see you back here next week or on one of my other lives throughout the week for the Rangers or the Longhorns. Feel free to join us. Let me get to comments one last time, make sure I didn't miss anybody. Yeah, CD, I agree, was looking good today. Like I said, Dak, a few throws that were a little bit off, probably could have had a little bit of a better day stat-wise, both for Dak and for CD. But look, we get the win today in Cleveland. Not an easy thing to do to go on the road week one and get a victory, but our Cowboys get it done today. We love it. Again, hope y'all have a great rest of your Sunday night and a great week ahead. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Cowboys.